This is a HeadGum Podcast.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the Fine Dining Podcast. Caroline, do you like to dine finely?
I do, because it rhymes with my name.
Caroline, dine fine, drinking water, drinking wine.
With Diane Feinstein.
With Diane Feinstein. RIP. Fine Dining, the search for the most mediocre restaurant in America, is a podcast where comedian Michael Ornelas is traveling the country, eating at all the chain restaurants in search of the perfectly average 5 out of 10 dining experience. The objective middle threshold of where bad becomes good, which, if you listen to this podcast, you're very familiar with the concept.
With a 5 out of 10 experience.
And bad maybe becoming good, as God saves us. Recently, featured guests include Marissa Pinson and John Glover as they review Costco's Food Court. It's a two-part episode that covers everything from discontinued menu items to how many hot dogs could fit in their mouths. And today, his IHOP episode dropped. So right now, head over to linktree.com/finedining podcast and click Bee's Giveaway to enter for an all-expenses-paid trip to your local Applebee's, the current frontrunner for the most mediocre restaurant in America at a 5.02 out of 10 for you and three of your friends. And you can watch or listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Caroline, who would you take?
Oh my gosh.
Applebee's?
If I got a table for four at Applebee's.
Yeah.
Obviously, love of my life, Nathan, gonna be there.
My fingers are crossing.
Who likes chain restaurants?
I'm getting a nosebleed.
Probably my friend Jeremy. Okay.
I know him.
That leaves one more. Let me ask you a question,
yeah,
Kevin.
Yeah.
If you were gonna order an Applebee's right now, what would you get?
I'd get a fried onion if they had it.
All right, you're in.
Okay.
As long as we can share.
Hell yeah. Listen to Fine Dining on your platform of choice while you're there. Enter by May 1st, and the winner will be announced on the May 8th Chipotle episode. That's linktree.com/finedining podcast. We're doing the hunt for the best Christian song of all time, as well as doing the hunt for the worst Christian song of all time. All that and more today on Good Christian Fun.
Any of that noodle
thing? You guys wouldn't mind adding a couple inches in the pants. Hey.
I'm just killing.
Bazinga.
Hey, okay, hey. Bitch, watch this.
Just killing.
Bazinga. Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
Bazinga.
You got me straight tripping,
yeah,
bro.
Baby.
Save Martha.
Oh, man.
This one I really had to pull for.
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
I really had to pull for. New listeners, that theme song is just my way of trying to amuse Caroline and myself and alienate you.
Yeah.
That was, of course, from the hit movie that we all love and
my
remember.
My favorite superhero movie.
Batman v Superman. Colin Dawn of Justice.
The old Martha mix-up.
The old Martha. And it's the classic Martha switcheroo. They talk about that in Robert McKee's story seminars and Save the Cats. Like, you got to do it. Throw a Martha mix-up in there. Welcome to Good Christian Fun. I'm Kevin.
And I'm Caroline.
We're here to have good Christian fun. Caroline, what is Good Christian Fun?
It's a show where we talk about Christian pop culture, which you and I grew up with as Christians.
Good Christian Fun is the podcast where we monetize our past trauma.
That's right.
Try to make a buck off
of it. And our current faith. But yeah, we talk about this world. It's very funny. And we're not here to proselytize or evangelize to anybody. I don't care. I'm not interested in that. But if you...
Good Christian Fun, colon, I don't care.
If you you are a churchgoer, you are a believer, and whatever it may be, that's just fine. We're not here to attack you either.
Unless you go to Hillsong.
Then you're a no-no.
No, as Ellen Page would say on Twitter, no.
Kevin took issue that she said,
not
with
agree with
the,
everything she's
not with
saying.
The content of her argument.
I think it's hard to type out and not be snide,
sure.
Right?
I think she was trying to be snide, though. That's
right.
My point.
Well, it's just not my fit. You know who would never type out in a tweet?
Paddington.
I'm just saying.
Paddington wouldn't tweet.
Could
I think
you imagine?
He would just like not get in there.
Actually, Mr. Brown, it's pronounced Marmalade.
Yeah, he wouldn't get in it. He'd log off Twitter.
He'd be like, oh, I just never have time.
He wouldn't make a fuss about it. But anyway.
I was having fun time making pottery.
Oh, that's his side hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be amazing.
He likes to make stuff.
But yeah, we talk about Christian artists and Christian music and the movies and such. And we examine them. Why did they exist? How did they exist? Were they good? Were they bad? Mm-hmm. What can we take away? How do we separate the wheat from the chaff and reclaim it for our own? In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
And cash.
And cash. In the name of our Lord, cold hard cash.
That's right.
Jesus cash. But we're going to need a special guest to do it today. We got a fun format for today. A little atypical of some of the stuff we usually do.
But you know this game.
But you know it very well. So let's introduce our guest right now. Ladies and gentlemen, you may know her from her work as a writer on Brooklyn Nine-Nine, or you may know her from her podcast, A Funny Feeling, or Cardition It, or her improv cast, Search History. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Marcy Giroux!
Whoa!
Hey!
Wow, you are just ripping some Disney off. Is that some Disney music?
Oh, I wish it was Disney music. This is Amy Grant, a Christian recording
Disney
artist.
Wishes.
Oh, I know who she is.
You know,
kind of
Grant?
The Alan Menken of Christian pop.
Didn't she marry Vince Gill?
Yes, she did.
Didn't she break up his marriage?
A lot of marriages were in shatters because of Amy Grant.
Ooh, yes.
Amy's trail of tears is divorce papers.
I'm happy for her. She's living her better life.
I don't know if Vince Gill was married before. I literally have never looked into. Surely he was.
Are they still married?
They're still married.
Yeah.
They still do Christmas specials on the Hallmark Channel.
I know that I am far too young to know any actual details about it, but I remember my mom's best friend being convinced Vince Gill was gay and that Amy was bearding, but also like, what?
Wow.
Oh, this goes deep.
A lot of
Do
drama.
Do you remember any of the evidence for this?
No,
it was just like, there's no way.
I had to be in first grade, just like overhearing adult conversations.
There was a lot.
With gossipy women.
Well, not to impose unfair cultural scripts on all men, but Vince Gill doesn't strike me as particularly gay. In any way?
I think in the 80s, we were dealing with a different set of rules.
Yeah. I just don't think about Vince Gill at all.
No, that's probably, you know what? Yeah.
Gary Chapman.
I don't know anything. Yeah. I don't know why I'm starting rumors about Vince Gill and Amy Grant.
But we all had some little connection to that mini scandal.
Yeah.
That's not actually a scandal.
It's not actually a scandal.
It's fine.
It's just adults working it out.
Yeah. They're just figuring it out.
It's fine.
And not maybe figuring it out in the timeline that is least hurtful.
Exactly. Sure. I feel like your mom and her friend would have a good time watching their recent Christmas special because
possibly
Amy wears all leather. And
she had a Morpheus thing going on.
It's okay. Yeah, it's incredibly hot. And then Vince comes in for like half a song. And then he like recedes back into the shadows.
Very
like,
checked
playing
out.
Guitar.
I already regret bringing up any stuff about them.
Caroline, why did we watch this and then not talk about it for a podcast?
I don't know. It seems extremely ripe for
discussion. Watched a movie.
Discussion.
We could have gone to a show.
No, but I think that was the most entertaining thing we could have watched that night.
For this very moment.
Yeah.
Right here.
Hey.
We've brought it up a few times.
That's true.
It was a nice time.
And hey, for those of you out there going through hard stuff, relationship wise, just because something ends doesn't mean that it was a failure.
That's true. I think that so much.
I think
right?
too.
That people are like, when anything ends, they're like, well, I guess I was wrong about all of that.
Yeah, burn the bridge.
It's like, no, that's not how, like, if you're thinking of a person as to be, to fill in a spot for like your worksheet of life, then you're not gonna ever get it right. Because like, you can't just use people as placeholders for like that person you need or that thing you want.
Yeah, and there's a way in which thinking that the bad negates the good is very, it's almost cold and mathematical of like, okay, well, it's bad now, so it was all bad.
Yeah, life is not a Mad Libs.
Mm-mm. Oh, and I wish it was sometimes,
so interesting.
But it's not. It's not a Mad Libs.
She said to her partner, poop.
Excuse me?
Mad Libs.
Oh, I see.
Oh, yes.
Well, we've talked about that, though, you and I, about relationships ending and if, like, you were really close to someone, and then now you don't talk to them anymore.
Yeah.
What was it for? Why did we do it all?
Right. And I mean, there's a way in which you need to tell yourself that it wasn't all for naught, so you literally don't go crazy. But also, it's just true as well. Like, yeah. if you examine anything, and I feel like that's the refrain of so many, you know, like whatever drawn kind of indie movies or big movies like La La Land, where it's like, hey, you know what? Sebastian and Little Pete, what was Emma Stone's name in that movie? Mia. Sebastian and Mia. Little Pete is what I called her. Like, just because that ended wasn't a failure too. So yeah, I feel like there's evidence for it everywhere.
Also, like, maybe you needed that person because humans need companionship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's not objectifying to say,
no,
in a way.
It's just like we need to be around people.
Needed it. You need it.
It's the same reason why
it's healthy.
The guy at the grocery store talks to me while we're checking out my groceries.
Mm-hmm. Find everything all right?
Or just be, he'll just, trust me, I have one of those faces people love to talk to. Oh.
What are the things they like to tell you?
I've had an Uber driver cry and I held his hand.
What? From the back seat?
No, I was in a pool, so I was sitting up front, and then everyone else is out. And
was everyone checked out? You were just working with this guy?
Oh, God, I just was like, oh, no, he's crying. And so I patted his hand. I didn't hold it. He was Armenian and Greek. I remember that. And it was Armenian Day Parade had just happened recently.
Oh, yeah.
Or like the parade to like remember the genocide.
Yeah, it's big out here in LA.
But like people celebrate it, and I was like, "Did you do that?" And he was like, "No, I've been having a rough time. My mom died." And then he just softly cried, and I said, "I'm so sorry."
That's so nice.
And I was like, "This is Marcy, you gotta stop smiling at people.
My mom has smiling at people. People tell her stuff all the time.
I could see that. Yeah.
Well, she's initiating it a lot of the time too.
I could also see that.
Wrap it up. Let's go. I don't need to know about their cat stuff. Like, let's go.
Yeah, I don't mean to, but sometimes I'll like ask the next question that you can tell they've like said they've thrown a line out.
Right.
And I'm like, take it.
Yeah, I'm happy to be here, but it's been a tough morning.
I'll be like, oh no, what happened?
Of course, because you would be a rude dude to not.
No, I think it's perfectly fair not to, but also I'm like, maybe this will lead to something interesting.
Yeah, that I can use later for a show.
Yeah.
Or just like, I don't know, like to make the day fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, breaking out of your shell and trying to have a novel experience with someone.
Sometimes I like will be around people I know very well, and I just feel like I have nothing to give them. I have like nothing left. But a stranger, sometimes I'll be like, I'm going to give you a lot of
life. Is that funny? I feel like that too. That's so interesting you say that. I've felt that so much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I think because you assume that whatever you would have to give to the people you're closest to is something they already got. They know what you got.
They're full up.
I'm good, whatever. But a stranger, it's like, I could surprise this person with an insight or my own personality or
something.
Or
just a little compassion. Or
yeah.
Yeah.
And isn't that what the church is sometimes too?
No.
You know, I'll let you guys lead this, but I was just listening to the Daily about the...
Which one?
Oh, I was listening to the one where the Pope addresses the abuse of nuns in the church.
Oh,
it went
God.
Something like this. It's the Daily. I'm Michael Barbaro. Today, the Pope addressed some abuse allegations.
I love talking about women's issues with all male correspondents.
Yeah.
Is that wild?
I love it.
That's that whole story. I was just like, I'm going to have to skip this one. It's too dark. I can't get in there.
Yeah, it's dark.
Do you enjoy
brutal.
Being talked to like a child by Barbaro?
I don't like it at all. I want to listen
up.
To the Daily, and then I just like I can't get past that intro,
Caroline,
every time.
Can you pass me the cream?
No,
what
it's
is
for
that
my
voice?
Coffee.
I'm listening to him at 1.5.
Yeah,
oh,
you should.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That'll mitigate that.
On the Daily,
and then it's a 15-minute show.
And the interview style of like just say anything to me right now, Caroline.
I had a bagel today.
Huh.
So
he does that a lot.
He can edit those out, but he likes to give you a little flavor.
He wants it. He's like, the people need to know. I don't know how they produce that show.
I mean,
on the Daily, it's pretty incredible.
Yeah,
it is. It's informative. I'd say this.
It's no GCF, but it's a great little show.
Different flavor.
I think he gets something like millions of downloads per episode at this
Nowhere near what you guys are pulling
in. No, we're in the tens or the hundreds. Well, Marcy, what is your experience with church stuff, religious stuff?
Well, I grew up Catholic.
Oh, yeah.
In the South, where there were not a lot of Catholics.
Which part of the South again?
Louisiana.
Louisiana.
Yeah.
I'm in like the real Bible Belt. So back in the day, and maybe still, but I remember like in the 80s and 90s, like there was one Catholic church for, I don't know, like 10 towns.
Whoa.
So like some people were driving 45 minutes to go to church on Saturday or Sunday.
With my flimsy understanding of Louisiana, do you think that was like from French occupation?
What the
Catholic Church left behind there?
Oh yeah, like we were very like In fact, we call our counties parishes.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
I had no
but
idea.
But also, coincidentally, the parish in Livingston, where I'm from, had only one parish church,
one mega parish.
So I grew up Catholic.
Mega parish.
Yeah, it was like, you know, like you could fit like maybe 900 people in the church,
oh, wow.
possibly, but that was never. We never have that many except for on Christmas Eve.
Okay.
Where all the flaky Catholics come out.
We see you.
Yeah. But everyone was Protestant. Like my mom's family was Methodist and everyone else was like Baptist, full gospel.
Yeah.
And so like Catholics were sort of the bad kids. Like we were, like in my grade, maybe there's only six other Catholic kids and we were considered not Christian by the other Christian kids.
That's
and
how I was raised.
Yeah,
basically.
Catholics are not Christian.
Like they're close, but like Jewish people, like, oh, you're just missing a big chunk.
And I can remember like so I was the captain of FCA in high school.
Fellowship of Christian Athletes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I remember someone who went to the local Baptist church, which was enormous and huge, and they had a youth group, so like everyone was very into that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would go sometimes because I had friends that were there. In fact, at one point, I was going to church four times a week in high school.
Oh, it was a big part of your life.
Yes, I was going to my church. I was doing Adoration Chapel at the Catholic church, and then I was doing a Bible study at a non-denominational but really full gospel church, and then doing like the youth night at the Baptist church with all my friends. So I was doing a lot, and then FCA. So I was like really into Christianity.
Yeah.
Now we've talked about FCA a little bit on this show, but like, what were some of the the tenets of how the faith and the Bible were expressed in that? Because my memory of it, because my brother did it in high school, is that it was just a lot of Philippians 4:13.
I cannot remember other than doing like morning prayers together. And that like, I remember a big thing was if more than three people or if more than, three,
two, are gathered.
Two or more, then we would like that. So if someone needed something, we would make sure to gather.
Mm-hmm.
And then like going to camp during the summer for like the captains went to camp.
Uh-huh.
And like, I remember meeting a blind captain at camp in Tennessee, and a girl got a sunburn and he said he wanted to lick it. He wanted to lick her peeling skin. And I was just like, what a weird experience.
Well, in ancient Hebrew times, that was actually a sign of great respect.
Yeah. I was like, I guess because he can't see it. So he liked, but
he wants to know what it,
I just didn't understand how dirty it was.
He used his tongue to figure that out.
But I remember, like, so specifically having, like, some other kids, like this girl at school was, like, leading, like, her little youth group Bible study that week and had planned to talk about how I was a fake Christian and how I didn't really walk in, you know, the walk with Jesus. Right. And, like,
because of Catholicism or because of you?
Well, I think because, like, of me and Catholicism and, like, you know, like, I always have had this personality even no matter how, like, religious and, like, I cursed or whatever. And so I also want to be like, girl, you should not be calling me out. But
was this a topic of the Bible study like a conversation
she
for
was
you
planning
two?
To have? And I was not I was not going to be in attendance.
Oh, my gosh.
And so my two guys who went to that church, their brothers, they like found out and they're like, we think it's only right to tell you that this is happening. And I was like, oh, no. And they were like, could we cope? would you come with us? Would you be there? I was like, yes. So I just sat in front of her in the front row. And then she didn't talk about that weirdly, guys.
Oh, interesting.
That's strange. Maybe the spirit moved and, you know, something yeah, happened inside of her. Yeah, she felt
a new inspiring by yeah. the Lord.
So that
I love that you were sat front row.
There was like, a meeting.
Go ahead.
What was it that you were doing that was so horrific?
I don't know. Like, I guess like maybe occasionally going to parties or something. But like everybody was like sort of like being Christian and then also like doing everything else there that we're not supposed to do because right. we're teens. Yeah. Truly, in our town, like every preacher's daughter got pregnant. Like that's just how it went in high school.
Yeah.
It was.
But if you remember like those high school days, at least in my end, it was a lot about like evangelize to whoever you can.
Yeah.
And your social circle is basically the people you know. Yeah. And so if you have the Catholic girl, like that's kind of an easy target. Of,
yeah.
Like, well, she's clearly not getting anything right here. So
yeah.
She's a project.
But so that was like a weird experience. And then like, so I was like very religious then. And then kind of like in college started like just changing, like, I don't know, my feelings about the church or organized religion.
Yeah.
And I can remember, I was like thinking about it this morning in the shower while I wasn't washing my hair.
With tapioca.
with tapioca. I put tapioca to dry shampoo in.
That's great.
But that sometime in college I started having the philosophy of like, I think this is what I believe, but I definitely think I'm not correct. And I don't think anyone is, because I don't think it's something we can know. And I think mm-hmm. that we all can just do the best we can here. And then we all will be in for a little treat or surprise when we pass on to the whatever happens after this life.
Yeah.
And if it's nothing, we won't know about it. And if we're wrong, but we try to be good people, I think it'll be okay. And if it's worse, whoops, there was nothing we could do.
Whoops.
Oopsie, we tried to
mess. An afterlife oopsie.
We yeah. But that. I think like around like 18 or 19, like I remember my grandfather dying and like something about that, like a little shift. I don't know what it was exactly, but I started to be like, I don't know if I really think this is all literally correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it was like a concrete event
yeah.
where that can be like kind of a fork in the road for some people where it's
yeah.
like, no, I really have to believe in God because I can't take it that my grandpa could be somewhere else. And then for some people, it's like, oh, well, this is just life and this is what happens.
Yeah.
And I don't know if this is the answer.
It's almost like someone in college, like taking an African studies course and getting super interested in Africa and, you know, renting all the Africa books from the library. And they're like, I think I know Africa pretty well.
Yeah.
And then they go to Africa. It's like I don't know Africa at all.
I didn't know this.
Because that the death thing is like, okay, here's where the Christianity kicks in.
Yeah.
On some level, it's like, okay, here's the trigger for like this whole belief system and like the big benefit as it was sold to us at some point.
Yeah, I think in my life a lot of like big shifts for me in like losing faith in the church, but not in like, it's so weird because like sometimes I'll be like, I think God, like I don't know where I stand now, almost like I'm like, I still sort of believe in like God and Jesus and also kind of the new agey, like the universal thing. And I was like, but I think it might be a little more synonymous than some of us are like willing to admit. But like every time around like someone's funeral, I lose faith in the church as an organization. Mm. Like I keep losing faith with religious leaders.
Like with every death, you mean?
Yeah, with every death in my family, I've lost a little bit of faith in the people who are running things when it comes to the church.
Is there like a day in particular, like someone handled a funeral weirdly?
Well, I know that we had like a funeral that I was like, are they having a preach-off? I feel like they're having a preach-off, like a rap battle.
Really?
Yeah. And then another one, like, I wasn't able to go home for. And this was not in our church. This was at another, like, I think they're non-denominational now, but I think they were Methodist. Mm. But they're having some weird stuff with their church back home. But I had emailed the preacher because I wasn't able to go home for my aunt's funeral and didn't hear back. But I was like, he's probably busy. But I was like kind of just being like about how I felt. That was sad. And like I wasn't going to be there for the funeral. And that was really I felt really conflicted. But like I had work and I was poor. And we had talked before she died that like she was like, you don't have to come home because it was going to be right before Thanksgiving. Like she knew.
Yeah.
So we had this conversation, which was very hard to like have that last conversation anyway. And for her to like tell me like it's going to be OK, you know, like so. But it was still I felt conflicted. And so I emailed this preacher, kind of seeking a little bit of like maybe guidance or just wanting
like affirmation, like it's okay.
Yeah. And he didn't respond. And I was like, well, maybe he's busy. But then my cousin was like, oh my gosh, what you wrote was so beautiful. He had read it at the funeral
and didn't ask me
and never responded.
What?
And I was
strange.
So turned off forever from that person.
That's really bizarre.
And I had had like not, I wasn't like, I had in the past like heard like weird stuff. Like, I don't know. But I was just like, yeah, I feel like whenever things are run by man, they get messed up so fast. And I have like a deep distrust for organizations. So like it makes it hard to be like, I don't know. It makes it hard to believe in any church or religion whenever you're like, I don't know, man. If like that scandal in the Catholic Church that we have every century, a huge like whether it be like abuse of children or nuns or whatever, but like people in power and being able to hold secrets. Or have you guys seen Abducted in Plain Sight?
No. Is it on Netflix?
It's a really bad documentary. Bad, poorly made documentary on Netflix.
Good story.
It's a awful story. I'll just say this. There is a child. She is abducted by someone she knows. Maybe more than once. I really believe that her like very sweet Mormon parents, because of their religion, and they don't, this is the part that's bad about the doc, I don't think they shine a light on that, like they kind of let this happen because they didn't want to uncover some other secrets, and because their like pastor minister person was like, we need to forgive and move on, and then more bad stuff kept happening. So like that's kind of stuff where I'm like, it's gonna be really hard for me to ever get back into any religion, because I'm like, we can't let, I mean, no offense men, but
hey, none taken.
Pretty bad at like running stuff.
Totally, yeah.
Yes. Oh, so when you say man, do you mean men or do you mean humankind?
I think if women came into power, we'd be just as bad too. Like, with
you should read the book The Power, because it's kind of about that.
Yeah, like I absolutely believe
it'd be horrific.
We're oppressed a little. We're still a little oppressed.
We're a little more compassionate, but then if we had some like real muscle,
If we like stood to lose something,
That's I totally understand that feeling too, and like. Like, if this structure, these churches, these people are supposed to be representative of God, then God stinks, or like we stink.
Yeah.
And I think for a lot, I've heard just a lot of, you know, people argue in favor of those church and in favor of those mistakes that people make, almost like, well, that just shows like even in our imperfect whatever, like we're able to like push the gospel forward, and God chooses like weak vessels to show his greatness or whatever. But then you're like, no, that was just harm. That was just harmful secrets, abuse happened. So the structure is failing in some ways too, and you need to like own that instead of being like, it's all part of it.
Yeah. And I don't feel like the Bible was written with a lot of feminism in mind.
No.
It was more about like make sure we keep family units together so that our tribes are larger. Right. And so
there's like glimpses of it here and there, and I think if you really want to read into it, you can find some feminism. And I've read into stuff where people email me, but I'm like, I don't know, at the end of the day, it wasn't written by any women.
No,
there was no voice there. It was just a lot of harm.
There's like a Simpsons writer's room, that Bible.
Exactly. Yeah, and it would be like nods to women.
Not nearly as funny, though.
No. And the women like are praised only because they were like extremely sacrificial and meek or like, you know, bold or something.
Yeah.
Well, and I think you hit upon, too, kind of a thing that happens more and more, especially in the 21st century, where people are breaking away from their churches, either locally or globally, and it kind of becomes their own, like kind of what you're saying, where, oh, maybe God and Jesus is real on some level, but I don't know, and maybe everyone's wrong. And there's almost like a security and comfort in creating a very individual, very unique definition of faith, because if it's just yours, then it's not a part of this larger body, whereby it might inevitably get corrupted by like, oh, you believe this, Marcy? Oh, I think you belong over here, and you're one of us. So, and whatever that is, even in the most progressive, wokest little churches, it can still get like very dicey.
Yes.
Because then you're one of those, and then there's a head pastor for that. And then, but if it's just you, and if it's just this kind of like weird thing that's just yours, then I mean, I guess you can corrupt it, but it's just
you. You're accountable to yourself.
Yeah,
you're accountable to yourself. Instead of, like, all these people doing horrific stuff.
Well, something I've really been into the past couple years is, one, antidepressants.
Yeah.
And I've been going to therapy this year, too. So,
way to go, girl.
Yeah, I'm really trying to get it together.
Has it helped significantly? Have you noticed a big change?
Oh, my. Yes. Yes, yes,
what
yes,
a great
yes,
response. That's yes, what you want to
yes,
hear.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, good.
And let me tell you, it wasn't easy. I am just starting my fourth different type of antidepressant medication. So it has been a journey. It's not easy.
I bet.
And I have spent a lot of money, and I'm lucky like that I now have money because I'm a writer, and that they pay you fairly well to sit down for 12 hours in the same room.
As they should.
They should. Well, but also, like, at first I didn't have money, and I just, like, humbly, like, reached out to people that I knew could help, because I was like, this doesn't feel right. Like, yes, maybe, like, I've been, and I think I found out that I have been depressed my whole life. I've suffered from major depressive disorder. Mm. But, like, when you're, like, really religious, or you think that you can do something, that you can pray this away, or that you can, whatever it is, or even if you're, like, into, like, New Age and crystals and stuff, like, you're like, there's something I can do to fix this. And it's sometimes physiological.
Yeah.
And you need a little help with medicine. So it's taken a long journey to get to, like, I was on the past year on Lexapro, which is great, but then I gained like 40 pounds and I was like, well, I didn't really need to gain any more weight, much less 40 pounds.
Thanks, Lexapro.
So now, like, my doctor's like adding something to weaning me off that and changing. But anyway, a lot of like blah, blah, blah. It takes a lot of work. So I just want to say for anyone who is suffering out there, like, maybe just try it, and also maybe keep trying it, because like nothing is a one size fits all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so in therapy, though, what I'm learning is you kind of have to, like, if you're having a bad day, it's great, because then you go talk about that. If you're having a good day, therapy's worse.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Because then you have to go talk about something from the past
yeah.
that you don't want to talk about.
Yeah.
But a good thing that I am learning in therapy is, because I talk about ethics a lot. Like, I try to be a very ethical person. I like to do what's right. I also have, like, a strong sense of, like, what I need and what I want to. Like, that's a new thing I'm incorporating. But, like, really trying to be, like, what is ethically the right thing to do here? What's, you know, aside from morals or whatever, what's the right thing for globally everyone? Mm. And my therapist is like, why? Why do you think there's a better answer outside of you? Like, why do you think someone else knows better? Why do you think I'm going to tell you there's a better thing for you to do? Why don't you trust yourself to make choices that you want to make? Hmm. And I was like, oh, that's so hard. Because we want to be told there's a right and a wrong thing to do in life.
Certainty feels so good.
Yes, that, like, yeah. there is a guide. And, like, I think that's why we all seek these, like, people to tell us, like, am I on the right path?
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's a real thing that you can be on, like, forever. Mm-hmm. Or that anyone's going to be able to guide you down that. And I think that is also the danger of organized religion, is that we look up to these people and we think they have an answer that we don't have. When whatever your spiritual belief can be, like, why can't you have it just as strongly as anyone else? Mm-hmm. And why do you need, you don't need to study for 10 years to do it either. Like, you could just have it. You could just wake up with it and just trust that you know, and that you're going to do what you know is right. Because yeah. I think if we all, like, really are honest with ourselves, we can figure that out. So, I don't know.
That was
a long road for me to get to this point.
No, and I love that. And I think I've talked about this a little bit before, but I feel like this phase in my faith or my life has been a point of trying to remember that my instincts can be good too,
yeah,
and like totally. My desires can be good, because a lot of the training I got in the church was like, you are inherently selfish, so whatever you want, maybe doubt it a little bit and like run it by a few people,
yeah.
because you don't know, and also God made like have a secret word he's gonna throw on your plate. And I think I am selfish, and like that's something to keep in mind, but also a lot of the time it's like, yeah, I know what the right thing would be to do here, or the thing that I want is not bad because it's comforting or it makes me feel better.
Also, it's not your job to be completely selfless either. Like, the way that we survive is to be selfish.
You have to have a little self-preservation in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can I give a silly example of this that
yeah.
is less heavy?
Sure.
Is I feel like this happens in dating, at least for me, where it's like, two or three dates in, I know. I know whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, mm-hmm. or not a bad thing, just not for me.
Right.
Or whatever. But usually when it's the latter, it's like, I know this is not for me. There's a second voice that comes in and says, yeah, but you're kind of, you know, you got to give it a shot. What if you're wrong? And your heart can deceive itself. And that's something that's like, and every time, I've never been wrong, ultimately,
yeah.
about an instinct. But it feels so sort of animalistic and primal to be like, I know, without like, well, did you really discern? Did
right.
you consider?
Yeah, did you take into account your fears?
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, and going off what you're saying, I would say too, there's a lot of value in still having the humility to look at things outside of yourself. But I think something that people of faith and Christians were not given enough growing up, and it sounds like in all of our cases, was like the true skill set of discernment and yes. just being like, what's good for me here? Like, okay, consider this, consider the gospel and Christ's words or whatever the teaching is. You need to consider it. But then bring it into you and filter it through your paradigm, which a lot of people would be like, no, that's bad. You're bad. Don't do that. But but because that teaching was so prevalent of like, no, you're bad and your heart is deceitful above all things, you doubt yourself so much that you really start to erode that own skill of like discerning in this moment what's best for me, whether it's medication or going to therapy and stuff. It's like, well, no, maybe I should pray it away or something. And ultimately, a lot of people have to learn that so much later in life than they could have.
Yeah.
If it was given to them at an earlier right. stage.
I mean, because there are religions too that would tell you to pray your diabetes away. But I think a lot of us can agree that maybe not the only and best course of action for diabetes.
I don't know. Just give me another year
of prayer.
It'll work out.
I did. I like in New York, I had two roommates who were Christian scientists, and like, but then they lapsed and stopped. But they were at one point and had lived that way their whole lives. And I was like, yeah, you know, that's not terrible to, you know, I believe in the power of positive thinking and prayer and all that stuff. But like, if you have a medical issue, seek some medical attention. Sure. And your brain is just an organ. I think we have like a real big misconception in this culture or just worldwide about like what the brain actually does.
Totally.
It just processes. That's all that it does.
Yeah.
It is a processor. And sometimes it's not working. It's not processing properly.
But we think of it as like the spiritual orb.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and it's like,
maybe I'm just thinking about it wrong.
Yeah, it's like, just like who you are. It's like, no, it's not who you are. It's just an organ in your head.
And I know we've talked about this, but it is two sides of the... Are you okay?
No.
You might be nothing. Wow. And everything okay? All at once. Uh-oh.
Hey.
Just galaxy hold on brain to my take. Socks here.
Hold on to your socks. It's going to be a rough one. The Christian scientist stuff, it's interesting because I feel like even within evangelical circles, there's like a lot of snobbery or disdain towards that. Like, they don't believe in medicine. Why wouldn't you go to the doctor? Which is like, it seems like common sense. But then the flip side of that coin for like Protestants and Catholics is they treat depression stuff and mental stuff the same way that Christian scientists would treat like physical medical stuff.
Also, I should say though that my roommate Garrett, shout out Garrett, when he kind of like left the theology of it, and like I think it like started slowly with him, like he was going to Africa, so he had to get some
shots.
Vaccinations. Yeah, and so it like slippery slope. It truly was a gateway drug.
Yeah,
vaccinations for him were a big gateway drug. And then like cut forward a couple years, and all of a sudden I remember him texting me to come home. He was like, can you come home? I think I need to go to the hospital. He just had a fever. Like all of a sudden, once you took away his like religious like it'll be fine, like, I can pray this away. He started really, like, having some, like, issues with health.
Right. Oh, really? Oh, it wasn't just hypochondria. He had, like,
maybe
legitimate...
a little bit of that, but, like...
But just be like...
He was fine.
I should go to the doctor all the time now.
Yeah, I think it was, like, he might have needed both. Like,
yeah.
And I think that that is true. Like, you can't, like, go through, like, you know, any kind of, like, med... Like, whatever. If you think it's gonna not... If you think this isn't gonna work or, oh, no. Like, I think it's sort of... 6 1/2 dozen. I don't know. But because the whole thing that I love the most about Catholicism is like the miracles. I love the ability to believe in miracles. And that kind of like, that's like in my other podcast, A Funny Feeling,
where, yeah, which I was about to
about
ask.
The paranormal. Yes. It is like, that is a direct line from believing in miracles and that God can die and rise again, you know, that all of that stuff, that like direct line to me being like, yeah, we have past lives and there's ghosts and there's other stuff, and you know,
well, this is a whole side of you I feel like we should talk about too.
Yeah, so A Funny Feeling is Marcy's podcast that she hosts with the great Betsy Sidero.
Mm-hmm.
I was a guest on it. I
felt like a fun conversation.
Yeah, well, guessing on shows and stuff, I feel like that one sticks out in my mind particularly, as just being so, because we had never hung out really before then,
yeah,
besides saying hi at a HeadGum party, yeah, or something. But I had the best time with you guys.
We got in deep.
Yeah, it was fast. Really, really, oh, yeah, fun. We talked about like a semi-demonic experience that,
oh,
I witnessed,
yeah,
and like, and talking about a lot of this stuff where it's like, is this a synonym for mental health? Is this actually another thing? So I recommend people check it out.
And is it everything?
Yeah. But for you, in doing that stuff and being interested in paranormal stuff, do you feel like doing the show and that process has expanded your mind for like what's possible here? Has it shrunk it at all? Was it done to that perspective?
I think it's made me more open to like anything and everything could be true. Like I certainly believe that, like, I don't know that any one religion has it right, or that we need religion at all, but that sometimes it really works for people and miracles are really happening in people's lives. Like we get stories about that kind of stuff, or like visitations from like family members who've passed that need to tell you a story, or to tell you things are going to be okay, that they are fine. And like, so like, it's really opened me up to the idea that like, that there's so much out there. We don't know what is possible, and that maybe it's not all black and white, that maybe there is like this really like diverse shades of gray about what is true and what the universe is and what God is and what all of this is.
So maybe Jesus exists, but also Slimer exists too.
Gosh, we can only
hope. So.
If Jesus, please make Slimer real.
Father Slimer, thank you for this slime.
Do you feel like your interest and your belief in like the, what would be the term, like the metaphysical, is what keeps this strong tie to believing like God is real and the spiritual realm is real?
It's the thing that makes me constantly question it, at least, to be, instead of like, because I think it would have been,
it would be easier to write it off.
It would be very easy, I think, to have at some point become more agnostic or atheist, even, of like, I don't think any of this is real. Especially like the further you get away from the South and the like deeper you get into like comedy, like it's not like super accepted in like, you know, the entertainment industry to be like the only people who are like really religious are ones who are like profiting off of it, you know, like,
right.
Yeah.
No, what are you talking about?
I just mean that, like,
I know what you mean,
yeah, you know, like Vin Diesel will be like, I'm Christian. You're like, yeah, but you just kind of like your Christian fan base because
right,
it makes you money.
Wait, is Vin Diesel a Christian?
I think so.
Well, this is big news for the GCF podcast.
I think he might be. But like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
People just aren't super open to talking about this. And so, yeah, it's, I don't know what's right or wrong, but I kind of believe that like everyone might be a little more right or wrong than they know.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah
know.
I mean, my really dumb appeal to that stuff of like people believing or not believing in stuff and it being less popular out here is when it's not used to oppress people legitimately or like marginalize people or use as hate. Isn't it fun? Like, it's kind of fun to be able to engage in talk like that, or like disagree about something that doesn't, you know, affect someone's well-being or life or something like that.
I love the idea of ghosts, because if ghosts can be real, then so can anything else.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like, it just opens up a world of possibilities. Now, a thing we found on our podcast is a lot of people who've had paranormal experiences are Catholic.
Interesting.
And maybe it's just the people we've asked.
What do you think that, what do you think that correlation is?
That we're taught so early about the Holy Trinity that like really sets in our minds, you could definitely see a ghost.
Or ghosts love Catholics.
Yeah.
When you're in Catholic school, the devil draws little targets on all the Catholic boys and girls and all the spirits haunt them for the rest of their lives.
It's so scary.
It's really interesting too, like even talking about the devil just now, like for a while, for like a good 5-year period, I was like, the devil is not real. It is a thing to make you behave.
And now?
And now I'm like, maybe it is. I don't know. Or maybe not like
the full incarnation of evil, or just like a little
scam. Or that there is something out there doing malevolent work too.
Sure.
Oh, horrifying.
Because I think it's the balance of everything, that like there is no light without dark, and there is no like sweet without salt, sort of, kind of like there is like a duality and a bounce to the universe. And so like if things, I'm not positive, but I'm a little more open than I was, because I remember my mom being like, well, I hope you're right, because if not, Marcy, about me saying I don't believe in the devil. I was like, why is that a big deal?
The devil in particular was offensive to your mom, that you wouldn't believe in him.
Boy, well,
I like wait till he gets a load of this.
Well, I think it's because she thought that like that means you don't believe in God.
Right, yeah. Right. I like how most people's view of the devil is like he's just really petty and like really paying attention a lot of the time. Where if you like say, I don't believe the devil's real, people would be like, well, he's listening to that and he'll let you know. I mean, or it's something, you know, yeah, or like he's really interested in your Ouija board.
It's like
board
the devil searching his own name on Twitter to yeah. see what comes up and replying like, to people who haven't tagged
him. He's got
him.
A Google
I've
alert.
Got stuff coming for Marcy.
It is impossible to live in this day and age and not believe that there's true evil around.
Totally.
It's
yeah.
impossible.
But like, is it conscious embodied evil, or is it just chaos?
I don't know.
Evil?
Is there conscious embodied good or not, too?
I don't
like,
know.
It's another one of those big questions that I don't know that I can answer.
Is there conscious embodied good? I think I'm looking at three conscious embodied goods in this
wait,
very
where's
room.
Where's the third one?
You can't see him?
Oh,
there
no.
in the corner?
God. Oh, my God.
I don't know.
He's vomiting blood
like
and
it.
Smiling.
No, 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 no.
Doesn't seem good.
Oh, boy. Hey, well, thanks for sharing your story and all that stuff.
It's so fascinating. Yeah,
I said a
I
lot,
love your
guys.
Perspective.
Well, yeah, and I really want people to check, not just my episode. You can if you want, but A Funny
it's
Feeling
a good
is a
one.
Great
yours is a good one.
Show.
Did you talk about the church thing? The guy that was like convulsing?
Convulsing
yes.
on the floor?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
We get into it.
I think there was a possession talk on Tony Rodriguez's episode, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so two little possession episodes. Listen to them back to back.
Yes.
Let's take a break, and we'll be right back with more good Christian fun. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, Caroline, I got a question for you.
Yes.
How is your social battery right now? Are you feeling drained? Do you got a lot of energy right now? Where are you at with things as we speak today?
Well, you know, when you're pregnant, famously, your social battery is endless, actually, because you're powered by a baby battery.
It's like someone slaps a mag charger onto your phone.
Exactly.
And you can go for like 24 hours more.
I am the U.S. Marines of taking down social situations. I feel incredible all the time. So yeah, that's where I'm at. What about you?
Wow. Well, I'm feeling a little drained. And sometimes it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, which is maybe the zone I'm in right now. Mm. And for me, spreading myself too thin is like going to a lot of like Garfield events recently that have been happening over town.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The new movie coming out.
I know you get so excited about those. You got to spread those out a little more.
I know. And I need to really protect my energy and stuff. But, you know, it's worth asking ourselves, what's the right amount of socializing and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need a little me time, a little alone, introverted time. But either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So things like tuning into yourself, feeling and understanding what you want and need yourself, and then being able to communicate that to those around you, and then most especially to yourself.
Well, if you can't get pregnant immediately, that sounds like a pretty good solution as a backup.
And again, I think I might have even said this before. If I could get pregnant, I would, just to understand what it's like to have even like boundless energy that
right.
can kind of propel me into
to feel
like,
as incredible as to, you could feel.
To exercise more, mm-hmm. to be working out like 3 hours a day.
Exactly.
Working 9 hours a day on top of that. And then
good
going,
brain.
Going out 2 hours. Yes, such a good brain on top of that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, maybe give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. If you don't like the first person you get, don't worry, there's another one on the docket. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
10%?
.com/goodchristianfun. You got some thoughts on that 10%?
That's a good deal.
It is.
I agree. First month?
And especially because 10% is where I'm feeling my battery is right now. That's betterhelp.com/goodchristianfun.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back to Good Christian Fun. Woo-hoo. Let's dive into the game. Come on, let's go. So, Marcy, you were involved in a lot of church stuff growing up.
Yes.
Did you have any exposure with Christian pop culture?
Of course I did. Well,
such as what?
Do you mean some jars of clay?
Uh-huh.
Do you mean some big house?
Yeah.
All that stuff.
And go with me. Did anything stick in particular, like CDs you would bring home or jam to?
I can just remember going to FCA camp and then seeing some up-and-coming Christian singers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what stuck with me. We'll have to see. This is one of those things. Childhood stuff is buried deep and it's in your DNA. So.
Yeah, it's scary.
It'll come back.
It was spooky. That happened to you a couple weeks ago with Third Day.
That's right. I was like, oh my God, I know this whole song.
I love you, Mac Miller. Mac Powell.
Great.
Mac Miller, R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah, Mac Powell.
Mac Powell's the one
is alive.
Who is the frontman of Third Day. Yes. Okay. R.I.P. Third Day.
R.I.P. Mac Miller.
So listen, we got a choice here. We can do the hunt for the best Christian song of all time, or we can do the hunt for the worst Christian song of all time. Now, the title I put on the letterboard that we took a picture of before the episode was the hunt for best Songtober. So, the kind of teeing up, we're going to do best song of all time. But I think we might have time to do both.
Okay.
If you guys are down.
Great. Okay.
They're pretty, you know, they're only, each song is like 8 to 12 minutes long a piece, and not really, no. Caroline's
play.
True terror in her face. Let's do, you know what, let's start with best, and then we'll transition to worst.
Okay, great.
As like a palate cleanser.
Love it.
So here we go. It's time for the hunt for the best Christian song of all time.
Okay.
You are the best Christian song of all time. The best Christian song of all time. The theme this week is Latin.
Ooh.
Latin rock, kind of world music.
The dead language Latin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot of just people.
Like Gregorian chanting?
Yeah. In Creole, Mahamanus. All right, the first one is Burlap to Cashmere is the name of the band. And it's
a
song.
Are you sure that's not a blog?
It's actually, Burlap to Cashmere is a mommy blogger, a very white mommy blogger in Georgia. The song is called
Her Secret is Always Time. I have a lot of time.
Just pray it away. The song is called Basic Instructions. The song is Basic Instructions.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Basic instructions before leaving Earth.
B-I-B-L-E. I know I recognize that.
Yes, that's the book for me.
For God so much loved the world that he gave his one and only son.
Fun.
It's a lot of lie, 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 lie.
Lie, lie,
lie, lie, some more. Which the Bible says you shouldn't lie, but they're saying, yeah, lie.
I also feel like lazy songwriting if you're literally just ripping off, like, Bible quotes.
Just Christianisms.
You know, that's a little more allowed in Christian music, though. Yeah. Like, straight up plagiarism.
It's only because no one owns the Bible, because they would sue them otherwise.
Yeah, if it was like the estate of Mildred and Patty Hill, yes. Like, no, you can't use songs.
Well, think of it as like, oh, I'm going to sing Shakespeare's sonnets.
Yes.
Which is
lazy songwriting.
Wait, do people sing Shakespeare's sonnets?
Yeah. Rufus Wainwright did.
Oh, I see. One of the three artists, you know?
Yeah, I know him.
All right, yeah, that's basically it lyrically.
Okay.
That's
okay.
It. Fun. That's the sound. That's the song. Now, these guys, it was a trio of guys. They were Greek, so a lot of their stuff is like really Greek folk influence.
Ooh, fun.
This was kind of their breakout single on the Christian charts back in 1999.
Cultural appropriation.
Kinda?
I don't know.
If you're...
That Greek is not Latin.
Right. Greek is not Latin.
But does it sound like this still? I don't know enough about Greek music.
And there's no way to find out.
Like, this could just be Mediterranean.
No,
music.
I know Greek music, and it is.
You do know Greek music?
Yeah, because I'm a big fat Greek wedding.
Well, okay. Then
you
we're
know
all
Greek
experts.
Weddings, then.
She wasn't wrong. That's okay. How it sounded.
Tango. Interesting.
I bet this could be Greek.
Yeah.
I mean, the guitar could be, but like, it's.
I don't think us three are going to figure it out.
That's why I wanted to do Latin on this episode.
We
for three whites.
Three different shades of eggshell.
Yeah, but it is a gradient in a way.
Well, with all my time spent in the Inland Empire of California, I do know a lot of various diverse people.
A friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a couple weeks, I saw her the other day and she said, "Have you gotten a little sun?" And it was the best compliment anyone's ever given.
Oh, yeah.
It looks like you've gotten a little sun.
You got a little Ariana Grande effect going on.
Oh, boy. Or a little Governor of North Carolina effect.
Oh, no. I hope not. That was a fun song. Wait, so did they traditionally always do kind of these like Latin-y songs? Or was that just a weird fluke they did?
Yeah, there's a lot of kind of like Latin rock influence
stuff. I'm assuming
you
researched them heavily.
They are the ones that... did our store up your treasures in heaven.
Oh,
that's them as
well.
Yeah,
okay. Well, that was
they do stuff
that.
Like
there's a place where I come from. It's the place where I belong.
This is them as well.
Fun. Never die. Their music to me sounds like such good Sunday school music.
Yeah, it's music for kids. It's got like that, yeah.
Well, call me a kid at heart.
Like, you know, quality.
Yeah.
Like bouncy. Easy to follow.
Hey, sometimes kids' songs are hard. Like
positive.
The good ones that aren't just... That's hard. What he's doing is actually really technically impressive.
I like this.
Come on, everybody. Praise the Lord. All right, that's Burlap to Cashmere.
Burlap to Cashmere.
Yeah, you can't get over the name.
I can't.
I'm sure there's some like it's in reference
like
to some like
cloth.
God turns us from burlap to cashmere.
No one does deeper cuts than musicians trying to think of a name for a band.
yeah, especially Christian music.
Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Okay, let me pull out the Wikipedia to figure out what you're even trying to say there.
There was a band in high school that was Christian at my high school, and they were called the Sojourners.
Sojourners.
And it was like, what is that? And then, of course, there's like a long biblical explanation. Like, Sojourners comes from the book of Ezra. And it's this, like, gets a show.
Well, and it's bonus points for Christian bands because it's like, if it's a Bible reference, it's like A++.
Yes.
Jars of Clay being a reference
exactly.
to some verse. And Sixpence None the Richer, that was a reference to that C.S. Lewis thing from Mere Christianity, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so that's basic instruction. Second song up, Lord. I Come Before You by Salvador. This is a slightly different feel. And these are Hispanic men. These are not Greek men.
Loving the horns.
Well, to me, the beginning of the song definitely sounds like... it's the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon.
It does, yeah.
Tonight on the show, Reese Witherspoon. After that...
Alligators.
With musical guest Maggie Rogers. This intro is so long, too.
Long, yeah.
But it's kind of getting you in the mood. So
Funky.
This This is like a Latin rock, like a properly Latin rock band from Austin, Texas. They do songs both in English and in Spanish.
Cool.
I think they're still based there, and they like do worship at a church locally there.
Great.
But this is a song also from 1999, the year 1999.
Just like Lush.
Ooh. You think they're done. They're not done.
No.
Lord, I come before you. Love to sing your praise. Worship and adore you.
Ew. Do that, Caroline. No, it's not for sex having.
Yeah,
oh, maybe it could be. It depends.
Surrounded by your love.
Well, are you getting horny to this song?
A bit.
It comes down to your mercy. You know, I just can't get enough. Oh, knocked on my door more than once before. Finally hear you call my name.
How many people are in this band? I'm not sure. I was looking it up, but it's at least 9.
It's gotta be a dozen.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Unless someone's playing a horn and the egg shaker.
It's fun.
Yeah, it's real fun. But again, that's basically the lyrics.
Okay.
It's very simple lyrics.
Wow. Lord, I mean, no surprise, but we haven't listened to enough Latin music in the CCM world.
No, we've mostly stuck to the white gentlemen and women.
I will say,
love to sing your praise.
At least he wrote these lyrics.
Oh, sure.
They're simple, but they're his.
They're simple, but he thought of them himself. I have a question about Christian music in general.
Yes, ma'am.
Do they only talk about God? Can they ever just have like a song about
sometimes
like...
Sometimes they talk about fallen women.
Okay, okay.
And men. Yeah, sometimes it depends on the band.
Yeah.
But most overtly God stuff gets more radio play.
Yeah.
Wait, hang on, I love this brick right here.
Finally, hear you call my name.
You would.
What? Shut up.
It's a complicated arrangement.
You would.
That's when Kevin headbangs.
So good. Just imagine me at my dingy ass 24-hour fitness on the elliptical being like, they actually kind of rock.
Doing the grapevine on like the treadmill.
Oh my gosh. Wait, is this the grapevine?
Yeah, it's but with your feet.
Oh, I see. I've never done that before.
Yeah, that's it.
Oh, hey. A beautiful illustration from
my with my finger dancing.
Now he's got it.
Oh, boy. So that's Salvador. Lord, I come before you.
Okay.
Little cheesy.
Yes. But to answer your question, Marcy, yes, people can talk about whatever they want to. Oftentimes it's a relationship. Oftentimes it's like, it's a relationship with my girlfriend or God.
Yes.
Depending on
yes.
how you want to read it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's options, as we'll find out in the next round.
Okay.
But between these two, what do we think is the best
of
these two?
Second one, no, hands down.
Lord, I Come Before You by Salvador.
Lyrically, I like the second one, but I like the music of the first one better.
I think...
That made me jam more.
I think between the two, I like the Salvador one better as
well.
Is
that the first one?
This is this one.
Oh.
So this is some cruise ship music.
Oh, yeah. But I'm here for it.
Yeah, it's like marimba breakfast.
Well, I didn't think cruise ship was bad. No.
Yeah. Have you never been on a Carnival cruise, Marcy?
Oh, my gosh. I performed for a month on a cruise.
You
with
did?
An improv team?
Not a team,
a
just
month?
Some other people. They randomly threw us on a cruise line to Alaska.
Whoa.
Let me tell you who's not into improv. People who take Alaskan cruises because they're your grandparents and your great-grandparents.
I
oldest people in the world
that.
Cruise to Alaska, and they don't understand what long-form improv is.
Because it's always like stand-ups on cruises, usually, comedy-wise,
milk
right?
Milk no cookies.
Yeah. Milk no cookies.
Caroline and I saw a clean comedy show on a cruise ship a couple
so
years ago
great.
Called Milk No Cookies.
Well, it was half clean, and then they took a quick break, and they're like, the next section won't be clean, and it, like all the kids had to clear out.
But it wasn't that dirty, was it?
No, it was like he was just more antagonistic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Except when it came to military, they honored their veterans and everyone clapped for it a lot on the cruise ship.
Up, and it was so weird.
It worked.
Yeah.
He killed.
And then we
like
never found out,
killed.
But the show was called Milk No Cookies. And he didn't like make a reference to it.
But it's a running joke that we want the catchphrase for this podcast to be milk, no cookies.
We should go on a cruise again, Kevin. That was fun.
Sure. Well, the Jesus Freak cruise keeps leaving the port.
Where did you cruise to?
Just to Mexico. It was like a day and a half, basically.
That's great.
Well, to be more specific, the shittiest part of Mexico.
It was like a shitty weather day. Like,
wait, where did you cruise to?
Like Ensenada, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think Ensenada is shitty. I just think it was cold and windy and no one wanted to be out or doing anything fun.
I went down to Tijuana December 1st because you know, they are having a humanitarian crisis down there and they have all the caravans of people.
Right.
So I went with some other Americans to just bring supplies to, I was the day after my birthday and I was like bummed because I didn't have birthday plans. You know, guys, I was really going through it. So I was like, well, I'll go do something for someone else. And so we brought a bunch of supplies down and it was so cold. I couldn't believe how cold it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was so cold.
You wanted to be sunny, fun time. Yeah.
Well, I didn't think it was going to be fun, but I was like, oh.
Really sunny.
You didn't think it was going to be a party?
I was like, let's go see what a tent city looks like and how much fun I can have there.
It was bad light for the selfies you took to let people know.
I was like,
hey, can I hold your baby? Thank you. But I would do it again. I mean, it was a little bit of a mess for us.
Nate got sick.
Half of our party got sick.
Your friend got sick.
Yeah.
Cruise ships are bad about that.
But I feel like we got so many good stories that we still talk about.
A lot of memes, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember our prayer times were interrupted, though, because of the rocking back and forth of the ship.
Unfortunately. I get seasick so bad.
Prayer time.
All right. We're calling it Lord, I Come Before You. Out of these two for this week is the best Christian song of all time.
Okay. Ooh, good
and
sessions.
Now it's time to judge the worst Christian song of all time.
The worst!
Masturbation is artificial sex.
Amen.
That's a song that's not quite about God.
Okay.
But it's a Christian song called Masturbation is Artificial Sex.
Okay.
All right. The first nominee for this round, the theme here is white guys in the 80s and 90s.
Okay. Sweet spot.
Which is kind of the theme of
everything
of this podcast. Yeah. And everything in life. Yeah. That's right. The first one is called Love Me Good. Love Me Good by Michael W. Smith.
Love Me Well.
I'm curious as to how you guys would classify this genre of music, because I could not make heads or tails of it.
Trip house?
Yeah, it's 1998.
Sometimes I feel like this world is just one big gigantic merry-go-round. Gotta hold on tight or you get hurled through the air. Yeah, life is a three-ring circus with clowns and freaks and camels and such. You never know when you might be attacked by the bear.
What? What's happening to him at circuses?
Whoa.
What is that?
So what is this genre?
It's confusing.
Sometimes I feel like I'm afraid of my own shadow, and then sometimes I can feel as bold as Genghis Khan. But I can never live in a yurt on a diet of Mongolian barbecue. I conquer the world for a moment, then the moment is gone.
Choir out of nowhere.
No reason. His voice always cracks me up.
Sometimes.
Love me good.
It definitely feels like all this was recorded separately with just a metronome. And they're like, just keep the time. Just keep the time. You got it.
Yeah, no one was in the same room for this.
So you're saying he has innovated a new genre?
That's right.
And this is good.
It's called adult contemporary trip hop folk.
Punk.
Yeah.
Folk punk dance.
Neutered.
Let us take a moment now.
What are these sounds?
To bow our heads and pray. If only to give thanks for me.
This is someone who doesn't know about the math component of music.
That's right. He got a few of the equations wrong.
Truly, like, because I've heard the people who are good with music are great with math, or like, you know.
Yeah.
Because it's very, this person is has like an ear for it, but chooses to learn nothing more about.
But here's the other aspect of him is he also writes symphonies.
He's a composer.
Are they great?
And they're pretty good. I mean, they're symphonies. You wouldn't think they weren't.
I mean, I couldn't write one.
I know.
So yeah, they're great.
I mean,
but yeah, his pop music is strange.
Oh yeah, that last verse we missed. Sometimes I wish I was in a movie or some 70s TV thing where everyone gets neatly wrapped by the end of the show. But yeah, this ain't Hollywood, and this sure ain't the Brady Bunch. And how this plot's all gonna pan out, I don't really know. Love me good.
I feel stressed for him.
Yeah, this song is like unnerving.
Well, you know, and we talked about his Million Lights, his EDM dance album.
No.
It's like a Soul Cycle album.
Oh, no.
These days. And so we're like, what is he doing? But
too
the more
much.
I look into him, it's like he is like that old tale of the king that sees a crowd of people passing him by. And he says, there go my people. I must see where they are going so I can lead them.
Oh.
He's chasing the trend
hard. Yeah.
But
I'd say this is like a 70s rocker thing a little bit.
I don't think it's 70s at all.
It is that like Dylan kind of like off.
With the organ-y kind of feel. And it's so strange.
Like, what is this?
I'm going to give up. I can't define it.
He's the Kanye of Christian music.
I've always thought of him that way.
Slavery was a choice.
Jeez.
we do know that I love Kanye, though. Oops, sorry, can't help
sure.
it. Just
oh,
adore
no.
him.
At every phase?
Still?
I think he could really benefit from some help.
Some of
mental,
the stuff you're...
Mental health, yeah. And trial and error and mm-hmm. trying some, you know, if something doesn't work, try something else.
Yeah. It's hard when you're like, you know, I know I'm not supposed to diagnose from afar, but we're
he
all
said he's
like,
bipolar. He said it.
He got some stuff. That's true.
Also, we didn't get to talk about Hillsong, but boy, should we.
Ooh. Why not? Yeah.
Because that's a Kardashian church.
Yes, that's true.
Oh. Courtney goes there.
Yes, and you have your podcast, Kardashian It. Do you guys talk about Hillsong on it?
I've been watching a lot of like vintage Kardashians, and Courtney is like so religious.
She's so religious. I'm sorry, we have another song to listen to, though.
Oh, yeah, no, but let's talk about this.
Intermission.
This is where, yeah, also, it's fine. Let's take a breather from Michael W. Smith.
Jesus. Kris Jenner owns a church, too. I don't know.
What do you mean owns a church?
Does she
own... She has a pastor that she's like really close with as a family friend, and he's a slimy looking guy.
She, I think, is part owner of a church too.
That's
I don't know if it's Hillsong
possible.
Or not.
Do you mean like a board member?
I mean, she put
Elder?
Her money there. Like,
okay,
you know. So, and then Kanye has his new like on Sundays church service.
He's leading a church, or he's going to a church.
It's very confusing. It's just music, but they all Instagram it. Tomorrow, just check out any of their Instagrams.
Kanye's.
Yes.
Wait, who? Oh, any of the Kardashians.
Kanye's.
So they're
Kim,
doing,
Courtney.
Doing some kind of underground house church with the Kardashians.
It's like
clan.
All in white, and there's weird lighting so that they reflect whatever the lighting is.
What?
And it's like not easy to see who's there, but Kanye will be leading people while they sing.
Wow.
So it's just a worship set.
I'm so curious. Wait, and they were, I was reading something that they go to City Church too, and I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
City Church is Judah Smith. That's one of the big boys.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
like secretly
it's
Baptist.
Like Judah Smith.
Okay.
Carl Lentz.
Oh, okay.
Chad Veach. Like, that's all a part of the same squad. Like, I think. Is it Pratt or one of those guys goes to City Church?
Yeah.
The church that Kris Jenner owns is the California Community Church. Brad Johnson. It's in Agora Hills.
I think Brad Johnson is her, like the friend. I think she married him and his wife. She officiated them.
Hmm.
Well, she owns their church.
Guys, you all want to go in on a church?
No.
Buy part of it?
It seems like a bummer to have like a tax shelter.
We can make some cash.
It just feels like a tax shelter, pure and simple. Okay, keep going.
Can we file GCF as a nonprofit on our taxes?
I think so. We're ministers now, ordained.
The next one, it's a little bit of a departure from "Love Me Good," which I was struggling to find the faith in that because Michael W. Smith is he's not strange about his lyrics. He's like, I love you, Lord. Like, it's a lot of that. But in this, it's just love me good.
Yeah, and bear attacks.
Give me love. Oh, yeah, and I'm going to get attacked by a bear.
It felt very scattered.
Stream of consciousness.
Yes.
He was going through it.
He was channeling.
This was his, this, you know what? This was his yay.
Yeah.
It was where his, it's like, oh, this is too much.
That was his version of like some Esther Hicks, Abraham channeling stuff.
Sure.
Do you know about Esther Hicks? She's a channel for Abraham from the Bible.
No.
This is the kind of stuff I'm going to talk about on my podcast, A Funny Feeling Sometimes.
Listen to that.
Very funny.
Esther.
Let's listen to the second song, The Unknown Soldier, by David Meese, or Meechie.
Here we go.
David is Meechie.
So, 80s.
From 1986. What if I said from 2017?
Like, well, it's throwback.
Sure.
This is of the time.
Yeah.
Now, this one is a real story that it'll get to in about a minute and a half.
After this sure. long piano solo?
That's right. It's a beautiful short story. All right, come on, David. Sing it. Not yet. Oh, he's shy.
I still have some keyboarding to do.
He's shy. He's still shy.
Come on, bud.
David, you can do it.
He's tickling those ivories. Plastic ivories.
See him on the campus as
I love this.
Studies with his friends.
They call him preacher.
His words of you, he saves them. Till he's folded on his knees. That's where he's a warrior. And he fights to save them free. He's the unknown soldier. The unsung hero. The brother on the street. He's the unknown soldier. The holy warrior who will never sound retreat.
He's the unknown soldier. David, come on back.
There's been no bloody torture.
Torture.
No burning at the stake.
Well, good.
There'll be no published memoirs.
Different.
No memorial for his sake. And no one calls him martyr. His blood. He's been faithful in the little things instead. He's the unknown soldier. The unsung hero.
Oh man, this reminds me of the Mighty Wind, where they're talking about how they're like, they're secretly, you know, like digging on themselves, but like, yeah. Never did no wandering. You know that song? This yeah. is like, no never one's going to mourn him or celebrate him because he didn't do much. He didn't really actually do anything.
Well, and every kind of like intense man you may have met in a church or religious context, I want you to flash back to that moment and then just zooming in his eyes. And this is the song that's playing in his head.
Oh, boy.
I'm the unknown soldier.
Look,
I'm,
you don't have to do much.
I'm fighting for them.
I'm but the you secret could still- samurai.
Oh, boy.
Sword of prayer.
I'm a covert pirate on the seas of faith.
I'm a wow. Navy SEAL spiritually.
I just enjoyed this labored metaphor so
it
much.
It keeps going. It keeps finding any new verb.
There's been no bloody torture,
oh,
no burning at the stake. There will be no published
no
memoirs.
Stakes.
There's no stakes to this story at all. Well, in the first verse being, you see him on the campus as he studies with his friends. They mean no harm. They laugh and call him preacher now and then. His words are few, so he's like not a talkative guy. He's very quiet, and he gets bullied by people. He saves them until he's home on his knees. That's where he's a warrior, and he fights to see them free. So people make fun of him, but then he fights for them.
He's a real man.
Yeah, and he's an unknown
it's
soldier.
It's just, you know, like, hey, you may not do too much, but you're just as important as all those people who died
as the troops
in the name of Jesus Christ.
And you'll be honored on cruise ships for generations to come. So, oh, the unknown soldier.
Oh, man.
And it goes with the Lord's army and all the like super military imagery
Boy.
That people like using. Like, guess what? You're a soldier in God's fight
I'm
for faith.
Already really struggling to figure out which one is worse. of those two.
Well, what was the first one? Like, it's such a distant the jumble.
Love Me Good. Okay. Have you literally forgotten the song we played 5 minutes
ago? We talked about Kardashians, so I was pretty far off.
This one,
is worse.
But at least it's like,
it's clear.
It fits in a genre.
It's true. It was nice to listen to.
I understand it more.
His voice is pleasant.
And it's cute.
Because
it is cute. Like, now imagine, instead of like, he's on campus, which would presume he's like a college student, or maybe a grad
I thought it was
student.
The whole life cycle of him.
Now imagine he's like a 6-year-old and he is getting bullied at school, but then he goes home to pray for them. It makes it a little different, right?
Yeah.
If you lower the age a bit.
Yeah.
So that's a little cuter imagery.
I don't think they're calling a preschool campus.
No, I'm stretching it here to make it an adorable campus. Little.
He's going to lecture.
And he puts on a helmet when he goes to recess, like a little soldier's helmet with a cross on the side.
No one likes him.
I'm sorry this guy's getting bullied, but also he sounds like a dork.
I mean, it's... Yeah, you're the one bullying him.
Yeah.
You're the bad guy.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the bullying is him getting called preacher. So it's not like he's getting hung up the side of a flagpole or something.
Because he's not being a martyr, you know.
No one calls him martyr.
No.
He doesn't even get that.
Yeah, which the author of the song says, but shouldn't he be a little bit? Because he does say in that second verse, no one calls
kill
him martyr.
Him. No.
Oh, gosh. All right, so I have these two, which is the worst.
It's really hard. They're both songs I don't want to listen to again, but could maybe tolerate the second one more. Yeah. So I think the first one is worse.
The first one was just bizarre.
It was chaotic.
I think because I have a clear idea of what the second one is saying, I'm going to say it's worse because just nothing cracks me up more than like when the intersection between someone's faith and then like male fantasies of what they are, like baseball is what church is like, or I'm a warrior or all those things. I think it's so funny.
Yeah.
So I think this one's worse.
Okay.
All right. Unknown Soldier is worse.
You're a tiebreaker.
Yeah.
I think the lyrics of Love Me Good are a mess of the hot variety. Mm-hmm. And the lyrics of Unknown Soldier are a little more clear. But God help me. I have texts from Ross Kimball from like a year ago of me listening to Love Me Good. I'm like, this bops. Like a friggin' loser. Loser.
No,
this is my life.
Loser.
It's me texting Ross and being like, this is actually kind of good.
You like what you like, and that's great.
So I think Unknown Soldier is worse.
Okay.
I've never disliked the Michael W. Smith. Like, I think it's fine.
Lord help me go.
Don't let the bears attack me.
No, it's not even that gritty.
Yeah. So I'm going to say Unknown Soldier is worse.
Okay.
So that's it. Unknown Soldier.
They're both
bad. No one's wrong.
I was not pleased with either.
But for this week, the Unknown Soldier is the worst Christian song of all time.
Pokemon.
Oops. Oh, thanks, Hillary. Hillary jumping in real quick.
She reminded us.
Well, you can go to our Twitter at Christian Fun Pod and you can vote on what you think is the best and worst song. So get out there at Christian Fun Pod and
Pokemon, go to the polls.
Did you just text me the lyrics?
Oh, I did. Yeah, I forgot to tell you. If you wanted to
Thanks, Hillary. Just sink it in.
I thought that a crazy person had texted me.
Oh, I'm sure. Out of context, it looks like a manifesto.
It's
for
a ghost.
I'm going to report this as junk now.
Are you getting a funny feeling? Oh, no. Wait, can you report podcasts as junk? Because if so, we are in trouble. If this is like spam. I know you can report things as uninteresting on Instagram.
Our downloads never make it into our
No. But you know what? Let's wrap it up. Let's kind of bring the energy down and bring the lights down. Make it a little spookier in here.
Ooh.
We got some candles going you can take a part of. Are you okay?
I'm scared.
It's like an all ghost worship band at the front. They're playing translucent instruments. This sounds like a ghostly theme, kind of.
It's
these
haunting.
Pads.
Yes,
yeah.
It's haunting.
You could see this as like the emotional finale of like a scary movie where it's like the ghost and the protagonist.
It was just your grandmother the whole time.
Yeah.
And she's passing on into the light now.
Now it's your turn to haunt them, son.
She looks behind.
She gives the finger?
Yeah. She gives you the finger, looks behind, then she fades.
Bye-bye.
into a bright light.
Marcy, on this show, we don't plug ourselves or promote our own projects. We lift them up.
Okay.
As a loving and humble sacrifice to the Lord.
All right.
So we're going to do that, starting with Caroline.
You can lift me up to the Lord as a humble, humble sacrifice, a warrior, if you will, at Caroline Sparks.
The wants to be known soldier.
Please tell someone about me.
The thirsty soldier.
At Caroline Sparks on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. Oh, and this week I'd like to lift up Russian Doll on Netflix.
Ooh.
Ooh, what a good show. I haven't finished it yet.
Russian Doll.
It's okay.
I live, I die, I come back.
Gosh, it's so great. And Nate and I were talking about, this is like the third show we've watched about the afterlife in some capacity. It's like, because we've got The Good Place. There was After, that one with...
Forever.
Forever, thank you.
Mm-hmm, close. Mm-hmm.
And then
I worry about you.
I'm fine. they're good, and I wonder what that says about culture right now.
It's in 2019. We would all rather be dead.
Want to die.
Yeah.
Well, remember when there were a bunch of vampire things like a decade ago? Everything was vampires.
And we all wanted to suck each other off, and that's what that
was. That was cool. I liked that. So, yeah, watch Russian Doll. It's really good. It's kind of, it's like a Groundhog Day, but a little darker.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Thank you, Caroline. We turn to Marcy.
Oh, boy. Okay. Please lift up Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Hey!
Yeah.
Thursdays on NBC.
Great show. Also,
one of my favorite shows. I don't know if I said that.
A friend of our podcast and former guest, Madeline Walter, also writing
also,
for that show.
Also, yes.
Yeah.
Madeline's also on staff. Mm-hmm. I got a lot of podcasts. Funny Feeling for the Other Side of Spirituality.
Hey.
Yeah.
With Betsy Sidar, we talk to comedians and celebrities about their paranormal experiences. Then I got 90 Day Bay. Only on Patreon. That's where we're talking and examining love and life of 90 Day Fiancé.
Yes, with Nicole Byer.
With Nicole Byer, the loudest woman in America. And then talking more Kardashians, where we do talk about religion and the ghost of Robert Kardashian Sr., who's constantly haunting them all.
Uncle Juice.
With Jessica Jardin. Kardashian, all things Kardashian.
Oh yeah,
is that it? Yeah, that's all three.
That was one of the smoothest plugs, lift up sections we've ever had from a guest. Oh, that was down pat.
Way to go!
You know, I'm like either on Marcy Lane or Marcy Lane 2 on Instagram.
Hell yeah! Thank you, Marcy.
Thank you.
And you can lift me up at Kevin T. Porter. I will lift up Sex Education on Netflix. Have you been watching it?
No, but I've heard such good about it.
It is. Well, I will say it's like it's a bizarre mashup of 80s American culture, and it's a lot of Breakfast Club John Hughes stuff, but then combined with this picturesque version of England, like it doesn't make sense. It's a fantasy world aesthetically that it takes place in. And it's Gillian Anderson, who I think is technically British now. She's just become British because she's been over there for so long.
And
it's a delightful non-toxic look at teenagers doing what they do.
You both reminded me that I was very selfish just now and only lifted my own stuff up. I also watched the first three episodes of Pen 15 on Hulu.
I've been wanting to watch that so bad.
It just came out on Hulu.
Did it resonate?
Oh my goodness. Boy, if you're a child of the 90s or 2000s, it's going to hit a lot of nostalgia for you.
Listening.
And they are very funny women.
Yeah.
And they seamlessly play seventh graders. You completely forget they're grown adult women. It's good.
That's so funny.
I'm surprised that conceit hasn't been done before, too.
They do it well.
They did it. Do you remember that Australian show, like Jamie, Private School Girl?
No.
Do you remember that show? It was a guy playing a middle school girl.
Yes, I do know.
In high school. And they never allude to the fact that he's
these
like
girls,
a middle-aged
man. You forget. You really do forget that they're not children. I would say it's not perfect, but boy, did I have some really great moments of huge laughs in it.
Hey, on Hulu.
Okay.
Hulu, making a name for itself.
Finally. Yeah.
Finally. Besides The Handmaid's Tale. Not to drag Handmaid's Tale. What do I care?
Oh, that's good.
Never seen that show.
Thank you for your account, Kevin.
My what?
Your Hulu account. I'm on Kevin's Hulu account.
You're sharing it.
Yeah. I made, well, because you
it's
can
been
put
very generous.
You can put multiple users.
Yes.
On. I think this is the closest I'll ever be to a father is having someone on my Hulu account. But but you can make user names, and so Caroline logs in as asshole friends, which I made because she memorized my password when I put it in on her TV, so she could watch it, and she made fun of my password to me.
No, you entered the password willingly.
Yeah, but then you looked at it, and then you teased me about it, and it was for you.
Because your password's hilarious. Tell everybody.
No, you can't.
Tell Marcy.
They're going to hack me. And you can lift us up at Christian Fun Pod everywhere. You can go to patreon.com/goodchristianfun for more good Christian fun every week for GCF Second Service. Doing some fun things this week, so check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Forget what we're doing this week. I don't think we've recorded yet.
No, we're getting there.
And then you can leave us a review on iTunes/Apple Podcast. For every review you leave, we donate $1 to charity. And this month's charity is
Big Brothers and Sisters of America. Listen up. I actually tried to volunteer for Big Brothers and Big Sisters, and they said, we don't need any more women. We have too many women. We need men. We need guys to sign up and be mentors. So if you're a dude in your area, they probably need you. So go ahead and sign up.
That's awesome.
Which is also an issue in churches, not leadership-wise, but volunteer-wise.
Yeah.
There's always... the women always far outpace the men. Yeah,
yeah. And I highly recommend a mentorship setup. It's so great. It's just one-on-one. You really get to know someone, and it's worth it.
Hey, Marcy, thanks so much for joining us on the show. There's nothing left to say, except for in all of Pod's people, in a spooky way, said, amen. All right, what song are we going out on?
Latin.
Latin? No, let's go on this one. It's Saturday Night Live with Jay Farrell.
Just well, him this for, week. Nope, yeah, just Jay.
Jay Farrell doing a one-man show. All right, we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Everybody, it's me, Natasha Lyonne, filling in for Amy Grant again. She didn't want to do it. I relieved her, and then she was like, could you do another one? I was like, well, I guess I could. So here we are. I'm doing it again. So next week on GCF, Kevin and Caroline are going to be talking about the film Pamela's Prayer. What's the movie about? I don't know. It's Pamela, a girl named Pamela. She's got a prayer. There's probably a lot of complicated moving parts to it, but you can check that out next week on GCF.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.